on the stack, we talk about some comic books that came out day, Wednesday. We got six of them for you. Mm-hmm. This is what I like to call a double short stack.
What?
Well, because a short stack is three pancakes, right?
I don't know this.
You never worked as a short order cook? You look the type, Pete.
No, I was the dish dog myself.
I never worked in the service industry.
Yeah, right. I'm not surprised.
I was too busy being fed soup from a silver spoon.
Yeah, you're putting on your white gloves.
Is that? Wait, no, that's if I was a butler.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I just picture
or strangling a butler. Oh.
I just picture you walking in a restaurant, putting on a white glove, and then testing to see if there was dust.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, that's still kind of a butler thing, to be honest with you, but it's cool. All right, well, let's talk about the books that we're going to talk about today. Let's kick it off with New Challengers, number one.
It's pronounced New Challenger.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, is that a wrestling thing?
No.
Or is that a service industry thing?
Yeah.
All right. Nothing but respect for the service industry. New Challengers number one is another in the line of comics kind of spinning out of Dark Knight's Metal. This one actually is more specifically spinning out of Dark Knight's Metal. If you're following that book, Challengers Mountain, which is the base of the Challengers of the Unknown, appeared in the middle of Gotham City, basically wrecked it, then disappeared. Everything was fine because Gotham City is always fine. And here we're picking up on that and finding out what's going on with that mountain, what's going on with the Challengers on the Unknown. Also, to give you guys a little bit of background, if you didn't know, Challengers on the Unknown was actually the basis for the Fantastic Four. Back in the day, they predate the Fantastic Four. So it was four adventurers who had cheated death and were traveling to unknown realms and exploring exciting scientific mysteries. What did you think about this book, Pete?
I really liked it. I really liked the art. A really strong beginning. I love the big splash pages before we kind of got into action to set up the world and the tone. And yeah, I felt like this was action-packed, and it was kind of a cool comic. I was very much on board. I liked the characters and the storytelling. I thought it was a good pace. And yeah, it picks it up after Metal, and it didn't bother me at all. And yeah, I'm excited.
Good. That's a pull crib for the cover right there. Didn't bother me at all. I love this book. This is a reinvention of the concept. It's for people who are literally plucked moments before their death or at the moment of their death. And as soon as they run out of time on their missions, they're going to be retired to a gallery where there'll be a living statue. Doesn't seem great. There's a lot of mysteries going on here. There's a lot of weirdness. Yeah, you like to be a statue?
Yeah, I mean, I would love to, just before I die, someone pull me away for adventure, and then after that adventure, I'm a statue forever.
Yeah, you're still dead, though, dude.
Yeah, but you're a statue, which is cooler than just being in a coffin or something.
All right, fair enough. You got me. Again, I love this issue. Great ideas here. Really exciting kickoff. It feels fun and smart and different. One of my favorite launches out of this new line. Next one we're going to talk about from Marvel Comics, Infinity Countdown Daredevil number one. Now, in the Infinity Countdown series, we've been following what's been going on cosmically with the Guardians of the Galaxies and other characters, the Guardians of the Galaxies and other characters like that. Now we're heading down to Earth to find one of the holders of one of the Infinity Stones. Turns out to be Turk Barrett, kind of a two-bit thug from the Daredevil books and other street-level Marvel books. Now he's gotten to power up. What did you think about this one, Pete?
This was interesting. I mean, it was kind of weird. It was the last place I expected to find this gem. So it was very...
Stone. They're stones.
Sorry.
Yeah. Can't call them gems.
Yeah. I mean, you know, sometimes when you're looking for a stone, it's on the end of a pimp cane. And so that's cool. But yeah, I mean, I'm not excited about this character, but I'm excited to see where this comic goes. I didn't think this was the best issue, but yeah, overall, this kind of story arc, I'm still on board.
Yeah, I liked it. It comes in a weird place in Daredevil continuity. There's a lot going on in the main book, so it's tough to slot it exactly where this happens for him, but I thought it was fun. I like seeing Turk stepping it up. The action was good, and I am curious to see where this goes and how all of the stones come together. Let's kick it off with a launch from Image Comics, The Flavor number one.
Yeah.
I loved this book
the
so
flavor.
Much, but it's very much my jam. It's
this is like Yeah, this is really your jam.
It is very much my jam. This is a very Miyazaki-inflected book about a weird walled-off city where cooking competitions go on constantly. There's a young girl who wants to be the best chef in the city, and she is not licensed to do so. She's seen some hardship in her life. Her uncle comes to visit her with an enormous sword. Yeah. So there's fighting going on. There's cooking going on.
Enormous sword was cool.
Yeah, so this is not quite your jam. What did you think of it, Pete?
I mean, I loved the art. I loved the world. I was very much into it. It picks up and kind of brings you into this world very fast, which is fantastic. We don't waste a lot of time. And yeah, I this isn't really my jam, but I thought it was cute and really well done, and the art was amazing, and I'm excited for more.
Yeah, I love genre mashups, and just seeing a fighting manga come together with a cooking manga, which is one of my favorite things ever. It's creative. It's fun. Like you said, the art is great. This is one you should definitely pick up, and it's only going to get bigger and weirder from here, particularly given what happens at the end.
Yeah, that's exciting.
All right, let's kick it off to one of our favorites here, also from Image Comic Books, The Wicked and the Divine, number 36. I'd say this is a different sort of issue for this title, but almost every issue is a little bit different for this title. It's also a little hard to describe the plot other than the gods rise and fall every few decades, and after 2 years, they die. We're very deep into the plot here. There's two halves to the book. Yep. One, we get to see a relationship between two of the gods over millennia as it plays out. And then the second half is dealing with the repercussions of a reveal from a couple of issues back. How did you feel about this issue?
It's very powerful. I love the storytelling with just a couple panels. I thought it was really cool. It was repetitive, but so engrossing. Like, I really liked the first story, the way it kind of set up this world, and you kind of really explored it, and I thought it was very cool and very powerful. And this idea of, like, you know, just giving somebody a hug, it, like, saving your life, I mean, that was kind of pretty cool.
You know, throughout the history of the book, we've seen glimpses of other time periods. There's been specials devoted to other time periods. But really, here is the first time we've seen how this epic drama between these gods has played out every, 70 years or something?
70 years.
Yeah, something like that. And they talk about this a little bit in the back matter, but the amount of research that clearly went into it, not just to the costumes, but the look of the time period, because these gods are supposed to be like rock stars. So where would they be? Where would they turn up every 70 years?
Yeah.
It's fascinating. And then some bad shit goes down in the second half of the book that means big things through the series. This is pretty much can't miss if you're a fan.
Yeah, I really enjoy this book. It's so different every time you pick it up, but so creative and so artistically done. It's definitely one of my favorites.
All right, let's finish up with two specials. First one, X-Men Wedding Special, #1 from Marvel Comics. Now, Kitty Pryde and Colossus are finally getting married. We're getting a little glimpse of a couple of stories going around what's leading up to their big wedding. Pete, you are nodding your head no, because you're in love with Kitty Pryde? Is that what's going on? No, what's happening? What's on your mind?
I could not care less about this wedding.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Kitty Pryde, some people really like Kitty Pryde. You're one of those people. Yeah. And, you know, she's talking about her space bullet experience here, which is cool. The art's really well done, but I could give a shit.
There's
no action in this comic.
Okay, so I got a couple of responses to that. One, I'm kind of ambivalent about the wedding myself. I love their love story. I don't feel like it's necessary for them to get married. I'll certainly read it. But I did like this book. I thought there were a bunch of fun stories in it. And I got to tell you, Chris Claremont, basically running through his own history with the X-Men and his history with Kitty Pryde, almost ignoring everybody else's history with Kitty Pryde, I thought was great. There's something about reading his words, writing the X-Men, that's so comfortable and so good. And I know he doesn't do as much anymore, but it was just nice. I liked it. That's all. It's like a comfy little blanket of a comic book, and it made me very happy.
Yeah, it's very nostalgic, and it's like, hey, you remember the Chris Claremont stuff?
So do we. Yeah, I do. Yeah. And the other stuff with the bachelor party is fun. I thought it was fun to see the X-Men boys go to Mephisto's Las Vegas.
Why
wouldn't you like a bunch of X-Men going to a demon casino?
Because it's Mephisto's demon casino, and it's like, hey, where do you have all the marriages you ruined, you piece of shit?
I can't even see
Mephisto right now. You know what I mean? Like, I'm still so
angry. You used to be so close with the devil.
Yeah.
All right, last one to talk about, Superman special number one. Now, DC Comics has been running a bunch of specials for the anniversary of Superman. He's 80 years young, we like to say, on this show. And this is by mostly by Tomasi and Gleason, telling a story of Superman and Superboy, revisiting a storyline from back in their run on the title. How'd you feel about this one?
I fucking loved it.
Whoa.
I loved it. I thought it was just, I don't know, I really liked, it was kind of cool because it was honoring troops, and it was also like, I don't know. I thought it was really well done. It was saying more about being a hero, and it. I just thought it was powerful and sweet and really well done.
I agree with you. We talk about this incessantly, but Tomasi and Gleason just get Superman and Superboy. There's something about them that feels so earnest and pure and exactly the right way for Superman, where it doesn't feel overbearing at the same time. They want to do the right thing because it's the right thing to do, and they even talk about that a little bit of the issue. There's a great line that I'm going to paraphrase wrong, but Superman says, where he basically says that the right thing to do isn't always the easy thing to do, and sometimes it's in fact very hard. But at the same time, if you're looking for fun in your comic books, they go back and find time and fight dinosaurs with army helmets and guns.
Yeah, I mean,
what's not to like about that?
That's just fun.
It's great. Comics. Very good. Very good.
Highly recommend them.
Yes, if you would like to support this show and other shows, we do patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. in New York that's totally free. Please come on by. Pete, what else do you want to plug?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about the amazing guests we have on our live show.
Check us out on Twitter at Comic Book Live or our website, comicbookclublive.com, for this podcast and many more. And Pete, I can't help but notice there is a spot of dust. There's a spot of dust on the podcast. If you wouldn't mind cleaning that up.